Hey guys.
What up?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey,
guys?
So where is everybody right now? I'm at home today. Andy, Brian, are you at home?
Yes.
Yes.
In two different homes, right?
Yeah.
You don't live together?
John. No.
No, okay. we're not like a little adorable.
And Mace, you're in the studio?
I'm in the studio, yep. Michael Funchess is filling in for Bergman today. He's taking his kid to Disneyland. And so we've got Jorge going to be here too.
Okay, good. So we're coming to you from four corners of the globe. Now,
yes.
Did you guys, Brian, Andy, did you guys have a chance to report the Rudy Gobert trade before the dump?
Yeah, just talking about it.
Okay.
That led the dump.
All right, so here's my take on it. Tell me if you guys agree. Donovan Mitchell's next.
No question.
Well, we were just saying, guys, this presents an interesting wrinkle with the whole KD thing. Because Donovan Mitchell, you know, he may not be at KD's level, but he's
pretty
really,
close.
Really good. He's younger. And all of a sudden, there is another superstar-level player that is out there that isn't Kevin Durant. Does
right.
that chip away at Kevin Durant's leverage in terms of getting
That's
where he wants?
So here's what I think is going to happen. Now I'm trying to play chess here and think two moves ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I think both Miami and Phoenix immediately try and trade for Donovan Mitchell and then try and flip Mitchell for Durant. What do you guys think?
So, wait a minute, you're saying they acquire Mitchell and then Mitchell goes to
So I say Phoenix New York. Phoenix gets Mitchell. Phoenix has all their picks,
yes.
Okay? Let's say they trade those to Utah for Mitchell. Utah is clearly rebuilding. They're just collecting picks. So Utah gets all of Phoenix's picks, and or at least let's say half of them, and then Phoenix calls Brooklyn and says, hey, I know you wanted Devin Booker, but we're not giving him – up, would you take Donovan Mitchell along with Cam Johnson?
That's interesting.
And Mikal Bridges and half of our picks? And I think then Brooklyn, that's the deal they're looking for, right? Young superstar,
yep.
Mitchell, picks, and two young players in Bridges and Cam Johnson who would play for them. And Miami's going to try and do the same thing. Miami's going to try and trade for Mitchell and then have him sitting there, and Pat Riley will try and flip Mitchell for Durant.
That's really interesting, John. Because one of the things that I think is really interesting about
and even
Brooklyn,
if the Nets say no, Andy, then you still have Mitchell.
Right. This is what I think is really interesting to figure out with Brooklyn. They have no incentive to tank because they don't control enough of their picks moving forward.
Right.
But they also don't need to worry about their record either. You know, it's not like last year where Brooklyn and Philadelphia were going through all that drama because both of them were trying to contend. This coming season, if they know it's going to be a dumpster fire, then Brooklyn can actually afford to wait out the offer that they actually want. So it's hard to figure out exactly what they're looking for. But that scenario that you're presenting, John, gives them about the most of anything they could be looking for.
Did you guys ever see the movie Draft Day with Kevin Costner?
Sure.
It's been a while.
All right, it's not a very good movie. But at the end of that movie, and I have no problem spoiling because it's like 20 years old.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Bo Callahan that everybody's trying to get. He's a quarterback. And Kevin Costner has him, trades him, and then goes back and gets him just so he can control the draft. I think whoever gets Donovan Mitchell controls the Durant sweepstakes because that's what Brooklyn would take, I think. Yeah. We'll see.
I thought it was interesting. Brian Windhorst had this sort of like roundabout, odd sort of lots of pauses conversation about Utah today, and everybody around the table at first take was like, huh, what is he talking? How is Utah the key to the, and as it turns out, Utah may be the key to the whole thing.
Well, here's, and I can lend some more context to what Windhorst was referencing. So basically he was saying Utah's up to something. And the reason he thought Utah was up to something was they traded Royce O'Neal yesterday, who's a starter for them, and he got a first-round draft pick for the Jazz. So that indicates, okay, are they thinking about rebuilding? Here's what a lot of people don't know. Royce O'Neal and Donovan Mitchell, really close, like best friends on the team. And now O'Neal's gone. By the way, Eric Paschal, the other best friend to Donovan Mitchell, got released yesterday. So now Mitchell has no reason to stay. He might not.
It's
even
like the opposite of how people used to bring DeAndre Jordan in, because he's everybody's best friend.
Right. Well, Dad, that got him $40 million, though. You know, yeah, with Brian. So deal. It was.
Dude,
you know,
he was Denver's 1201 proverbial 1201 call was DeAndre Jordan. Like he the minute free agency opened, we heard DeAndre Jordan to Denver. Like, he either is the world's greatest teammate or he has like information on all the owners. All right,
let me give you guys another kind of tentacle here of what happened today. Did you notice that one of the names going from Minnesota to Utah was Patrick Beverley?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Beverley has 1 year, $13 million remaining. Utah is committed to rebuilding. They're probably going to want to play younger guys. If they buy Pat Beverley out, and so he gets his money, let's say he gets $10 million,
mm-hmm.
and he leaves $3 million on the table to become a free agent. Isn't that exactly what the Lakers need?
Without question, but don't you think that Patrick Beverley is going to have a better offer on the table than the veterans minimum?
Keep in mind, he's getting paid. So he's going to be able to go wherever he wants. If he gets $10 million from the Jazz, is he worried about how much he's getting from the next team? In a contract?
He'd be a great player for the Lakers. I love Pat Bev. I think he's fantastic. Great defender, defensive-minded, tough-minded guy. He's
irritant.
Fun to cover, fun to talk about. No matter where he is, it seems like we wind up having a Pat Bev conversation. So, he'd be perfect. He'd be perfect. And also add a little – one thing that I thought was interesting from yesterday's signings is that everybody is young. I think Toscano is the oldest of the group, isn't he?
Yeah, yes. But the other guys were all like 22, 23.
Yes,
know.
Under three guys under 25. This is the very opposite, in a way, of what Pelinka did last year. Last year – you know, it was like Golden Acres Rest Home at some point. and this year it's a bunch of young athletic guys with potential upside. I actually like the direction of that. Now, the problem is we were 22nd, I think, or 24th in 3-point shooting last year.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really a sharpshooter in this group. None of these guys are especially good shooters.
There's not a dull shooter in that group. It's a terrible group of shooters.
All right, can I throw a name into the mix, though?
Yeah,
why not?
Okay, have you guys read about this guy, Cole Swider?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Cole Swider just signed a two-way, right?
Right. So last year, 33 games for Syracuse. Shot over 40% from three in each of his last two seasons, 41.1 last year. Across 4 years at Syracuse and Villanova, 38% from three-point range. And he says, guys, Swider says he's the best shooter in the draft.
So as long as the Lakers play Swider 35 minutes next season as an undrafted free agent.
Well, it sounds like what? He's our Austin. Is he our Austin Reeves this year? He's the guy that's the young upside undrafted guy that winds up making an impact? Maybe.
Maybe. But remember, though, Austin Reeves was – I mean, and he had a great season. He was a great find. Credit to the scouting department, all of that. Austin Reeves was not supposed to have the impact that he had last season. He had the impact last season because things went so terribly wrong. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to put yourself in a position where it's like, well, man, Cole Swider, he'll fix a lot of this stuff.
I buy John's argument. I am 100% in the Swider business.
Yeah, all Swider. All Swider all the time.
The Locked On Lakers crew is going to get very excited about Cole Swider because, you know, he's going to be in summer league and he's just going to be jacking up shots. I'm surprised you don't have a thread already about Cole Swider.
I feel like there's something coming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the real thing's coming.
It feels like they're setting up for Kyrie. It just does, because the moves that they made the first day of free agency, I like a couple of them more than I like others. I'm not wild about the Lonnie Walker IV thing. I need to see some details about other guys who were available seemingly at that price point. It feels kind of rushed and redundant.
Well, they offered it to Malik Monk and he turned it down.
No, I understand that. But Walker feels redundant for a lot of what they already have. But if what they currently have becomes different, through a trade, maybe that changes, because they did not really address a lot of their offseason needs other than just get younger. But getting younger doesn't necessarily mean getting better.
What specific needs would you have liked to see them address?
Shooting.
Shooting, defense.
Well, these guys are all
better defenders than the guys that were playing.
Yeah, I went and looked at defensive efficiency ratings individual. There are some decent defenders in this group.
He's better than Melo.
Toscano Anderson is pretty good. And Troy Brown projects as a decent defender, but he's not a good shooter and is kind of struggled to play. I mean, like, they need to find guys. What they're hoping for here is kind of the Malik Monk effect, where you take a chance on a guy and you get the upside. They are hoping that Lonnie Walker can kind of put it together as a shooter, and you get the athleticism at 6'5" instead of 6'2" or 6'3" like Monk. You get that offensive juice, and then if he can shoot a little bit, now you got something that you can really work with. He has historically been a terrible defender, but so is Malik Monk, and nobody's perfect. And,
all right, hey guys, we don't have to do. First of all, if you want all that stuff, we will be all over it for you all day long. Maybe the Kyrie thing happens. Maybe they sign another veterans minimum, guys. We'll talk about those. But what do the Kamenetsky brothers do for the 4th of July? Are you throwing a big barbecue? Do all the Cams get together? Does the whole family get together? How's it work?
Well, this fourth was a little bit complicated. I got sick.
Oh, right.
For the time being, our 4th of July plans may be on hold. I'm hoping that I can take my daughter to this anime expo this weekend. We have tickets for Sunday.
Just like the founding fathers did.
Why can't you make Uncle Brian take them?
Uncle Brian? You feel like going to the anime expo?
If Cousin Lily can't go in any other way, I will take Cousin. Although you guys are going, we're going to actually to a yearly barbecue that we actually can go to again. It's very exciting. I've been out here. We've gone to a friend of my wife's house on the 4th of July. And it's cool because they're Midwesterners. Mm-hmm. And so they do things like they have America Jello. They make Jello like in a mold that's the shape of America. So I really
Is it red,
that.
White, and blue?
Yes, damn right.
No, how do you do that? How do you make a Jello mold that's red, white, and blue?
Skill. You.
That's tricky.
Obviously cherry, grape, and then like I think they use like I forget how you make it white, but there's a way to do it.
That's super tricky, man.
Oh yeah, but it's America Jello, and I think that's again as the founding fathers intended. So we're going to go there and swim.
That's what
they
They wanted red, white, and blue Jello someday.
Right. It was a very controversial original Eighth Amendment Jello.
The Jello Amendment, exactly.
And it was written out when they finally did the final draft.
Tell you what, let me tell you something.
So that's the big thing that we're doing.
Downtown's crawling with weirdos right now. I mean, you anime people, you march to the beat of your own drum. I mean, I'm looking at women dressed up as bugs, and somebody had a dragon tail they were trying to fix while I got out of my car this morning. I'm like, what the hell is going on? What is anime, and why is there a whole convention for it?
Man, anime, and my daughter's super anime.
Yeah, I heard you say that.
So I have learned a lot about anime culture. It is, it's massive. Like, you know who's actually into it? Friend of ESPN LA, O'Shea Jackson Jr.
He's into anime?
He's a big.
He wouldn't wear like a flower costume or anything like that.
He's all into cosplay. He'd absolutely do it.
Ireland, what are the odds we get you into a cosplay outfit?
Zero.
Actually, you know what I said? I said earlier they were talking about who's most likely, least likely to participate in a cosplay thing. Ireland, you were marked down as a yes because I've seen you as a bunny. I've seen you in a onesie.
I would have to receive some type of compensation.
Right. You
it would be really easy to get you to do it. Steve would do it if he thought somebody would pay attention
to it. If there was a camera there, I would do it. Right. Cappy, if there's, he's like a heat-seeking attention missile.
Cappy would do it with no camera.
Cappy would do it just for the hell of it. Sedano, I think, would do it. No way at all. No way in hell.
I think there are circumstances you could create to get Sedano to do something kind of fun and goofy. The guy, and tell
name
us if
one.
You agree. He wouldn't like it, but I think he'd recognize like the politics of it. He'd be able to like triangulate how this is.
Yeah,
a good
George is a
him.
Smart negotiator. I mean, he would get something for it. But he wouldn't, say if he were here, I'm not putting on a clown suit for no reason.
And then Sliwa, You can just bully Sliwa.
You need incentive.
Sliwa, you can just make do it. That's no problem. Sliwa's in.
Hey, I wanted to make, don't pick on Sli. Stop picking on Sli.
I just think you could bully him into it. That's
it's
all.
It's not my fault you guys hate him.
I do not. In fact, he's on the Culture Pop podcast coming out on Tuesday.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Sli did the Culture Pop podcast.
And I have an enormous amount of respect for Alan's, you know, the way he's worked his way up and the amount of hours that he put into.
Yeah, no, he's an American success story.
What exactly does he offer from a pop culture standpoint?
So, well, first of all, he is a pop culture figure, right? I mean, he's on the radio every day. People love the guy.
Is he?
People ask him questions, ask Slee, all that stuff. but what I find interesting about him is he talks about his culture a little bit during this Culture Pop podcast. And there's stuff I didn't know, like Alan is Chaldean. His parents were born in Iraq. They immigrated here during the Iraq-Iran war. All that kind of stuff. We get into all that stuff on the podcast. So if you really want to know Slee, make sure to listen to that next week. But stop picking on him.
It's a big if.
Yeah.
Travis. I think Travis would be the most resistant of everybody to do AnimeCon. Oh, by the way, too, Anime News Network. This just got tweeted to me from Kevin Molina.
Mm-hmm.
They just tweeted out a video of a mass just crowd. It's just packed everywhere, shoulder to shoulder. LACC and Fire Marshal is no longer allowing anyone in Anime Expo.
Hmm.
It's just
so it's shut down. They shut it down.
I guess so.
Right. So it's a good thing that Travis is in there already because he's not going to get in now.
Yeah, Dreezy tweets, anime is bigger than sports. I seriously doubt that.
No, it is. It's... Absolutely it is.
No, it's
absolutely
not.
Absolutely it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Nobody
yes,
cares about anime. I mean, it's honestly, it's like a bunch of weirdos outside.
Well, I mean, that may be. Sports attracts a lot of weirdos, man.
Yeah, it does. It does. All right. Hey, we'll let you guys get on to your 4th of July holiday weekend. Thanks for filling in. And I think the cans with the string absolutely worked. I think we heard most everything that you said during the last three hours.
We don't get the high-end machinery. Somebody actually just tweeted, like, you know, Mason and Ireland sound like they're on real microphones and the Cam brothers sound like they're on, like, homemade stuff. And it should be pointed out. Like you guys are using the grown-up microphones because Steve, you're in the studio and John is a real Comrex machine. We're using the technology on our app on our phone. So
yeah,
so
that concludes Comrex talk for today. I don't think people really care about that. Guys, go have fun.
Sure.
Okay, go have fun.
See you, man.
Yeah, bye.
Comrex with the Caminets.
Locked on Comrex is going to be a hit show. Big show. All right. Thanks, guys.
See you guys.
All right. There's Andy and Brian filling in for Travis and Sli today. We got a lot coming up. And you know what? We're going to do a bunch of NBA stuff.
It Friday.
But it's F it Friday more than anything else. So I got a bunch of goofy stuff. Ireland. We got the Dodgers winning last night. We got continued fallout from SC, UCLA. You want me to text Ryan Abraham, see if he wants to come on?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah, Bergman's not here. We can load up on guests.
Oh, we can have any guests we want.
Yeah.
This is awesome. We can take calls today.
I know. We could do an actual sports radio show.
Oh, when corporate Greg is away, Mason and Ireland will play. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
With everybody growling today. Bergman's not here. Funch is filling in. Jorge's here. Ireland's here. Morales, that's what we call a generic open. It could run anytime, anywhere, all that kind of stuff. It's because Morales apparently is at the anime convention.
Oh, wow. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He's a, what did he call himself? He called himself a furry.
Okay.
Whatever that means.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what he said. Didn't he say that?
Yeah, sure.
I think that's what he said. He texted me. He said, I'm a furry. All right, so Ireland, we're frozen in the Kyrie moment. It could happen. In fact, in Vegas, the odds are 1-3 that Kyrie's next team will be the Lakers. So there is a lot of momentum for this deal, but it's taken some time. And the time is being taken because of the Durant piece, right?
I don't think, and this is all me just speculating, I really don't know anything. I don't think that Kyrie moves until Durant moves. I think Durant has to go first. And once he goes, then I think they, you know, Kyrie could be a part of that. It could be a 3 or 4 team deal. And they, you know, obviously Brooklyn isn't in love with Kyrie. They're not going to do anything to try and help him.
No.
But I'm starting to get a good feeling this something could happen here.
Me too.
I mean, but by the way, wouldn't you agree that both of us, as recently as last Friday, the Mandy show, we both thought it was dead.
Oh, yeah. We thought it was once Kyrie picked up his option, we were like, ah, there goes that deal.
Right.
And now it's back in play.
And now I think it's
play.
Very much alive. I don't know if it'll happen, but it's very much alive.
So if you have not been following closely, the Lakers basically now have 8 players locked. Westbrook, LeBron, AD, Austin Reeves, Kendrick Nunn, THT, Stanley Johnson, Wenyen Gabriel, and then the new guys, Damian Jones, Lonnie Walker IV, Troy Brown Jr., and Juan Toscano-Anderson. And they signed a couple of 2-way contracts. You mentioned, is it Cole Swider?
Yeah, he's the 3-point shooter from Syracuse.
Now, if you sign a 2-way, does that mean you start the year on the roster, or you can start the year anywhere?
You could start the year either with the South Bay Lakers, the G League team, or on. I think you can spend up to 45 days on the big club, on the actual Lakers. So you have that option. That's the definition of a 2-way. 45 days you can be up with the big club, and the rest you're on the G League team.
By the way, you know what the odds are that Kevin Durant lines up with the Phoenix Suns in Vegas?
Oh, God, they've got to be almost even, I would think.
1-1.
Yeah.
Miami second at 7-2. Toronto third at 4-1. Then New Orleans.
Then New Orleans could give him Zion.
Then Memphis. Phew. They get him, and then the Lakers at 8-1.
If New Orleans offers Zion,
I would not take that deal if I was Brooklyn.
Why not?
Because I'm not a Zion believer. I think you gotta. I mean, you need a track record of a guy who's going to show up ready to play at the right weight, with the right attitude all along. I would not invest. I mean, I think they go to like $200 million on Zion Williamson. There's no way I would do that deal.
It's probably going to happen today.
No way I would do that deal.
Well, there'll be injury clauses built into it, but he might be the guy with the most upside. A 22-year-old, 25-10 guy?
Yeah, I mean, I just think there are reasonably good odds that he's Greg Oden.
Maybe.
I mean, you know, as a professional, you want somebody to show up ready to work, and he, you know, at some point was weighing 300-plus pounds, all that kind of stuff. Hey, did you watch the Dodgers last night?
Yeah, most of it.
Yeah. Two home runs for Justin Turner, actually 2-run bomb and a solo shot early in the game. Mitch White pitched really well for 4 2/3 innings. Then the bullpen threw 4 1/3 innings of 1-hit ball. And Craig Kimbrell finally looked great in the 9th, clean inning, 2 strikeouts. So the Dodgers are now 2.5 up on the Padres.
Did you see Chris Taylor's throw from right field?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, great.
Like, I mean, that guy, I would say 9 times out of 10, maybe 99 out of 100, that guy's safe. And he threw just an absolute rope, and Will Smith had a perfect swipe tag, and they got him. And that kept the game 1-1, and then Turner won it for him late.
Yeah.
Yeah, but huge play by Taylor.
Huge play by Taylor. And the pitching, and last night was sort of our soft spot in our pitching rotation with Mitch White. Who did get us almost 5 innings. But tonight it's Tony Gonsolin, the starter for the All-Star game, versus Blake Snell. Then tomorrow it's Tyler Anderson versus Yu Darvish. And then Sunday is Kershaw, the one of the greatest pitchers in the history of the game, versus Mackenzie Gore, who is one of the best young pitching prospects in the game. He has been great for the Padres so far this year. So that'll go on this weekend. I'm going to go to the tomorrow game, the 4:15 game tomorrow.
You're going to go in person?
Yeah, in person. Oh, in person. Yeah, we're taking a weekend. Good to go to the 4th of July at Dodger Stadium. Seems right. So the inventor of the cell phone, John, The inventor of the cell phone. It should really hit Seinfeld here. Yesterday, we talked about the 15-year anniversary of the iPhone.
Right.
And how much people use their phones and how much they're on their phones. So there is a guy named Martin Cooper, and he actually invented the original mobile phone in 1973. It was this big, clunky thing, brick that you could carry around. It had a handle. It was like a car battery you were carrying around. So he invented the actual cell phone. And he made an appearance on British television. He's a British guy. Made an appearance on British television to speak specifically about cell phones. And listen to what he says. This is Martin Cooper.
I would guess that I use my mobile phone less than 5% of my time.
So what would you say to anybody like myself who are upwards of 5 hours?
Do you really? You really spend 5 hours a day? I would say, Jane, get a life.
Now, what are the actual hours that you spend on your phone, John? Like, if I look at your...
Isn't there a way to look this up?
Yeah, there is a way. Funch, do you know how to look it up? How many hours you use your phone?
It's like through your settings or something.
Through your
screen
settings.
Time or something.
I am not a big, like, for example, I am on my laptop a lot. But when I'm walking around or am I in the car or wherever I am, I generally don't use my phone. I don't talk on the phone. I see text messages from time to time. But when I'm at home, my phone is like a brick. It just sits there.
My phone, you go into settings and you go to screen time. My daily average is 4 hours, 57 minutes.
So you go to screen time?
Yeah. And you go to settings. Then you go to screen time.
My daily average is 3 hours and 49 minutes.
Yes, I'm an hour more than you.
Hour more than you.
I would imagine that's a lot of that is because when I play golf, I play music on my phone.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that is. Yeah.
4 hours straight.
Yeah, I'm sure that is. Like, what's your golf mix? Aren't you talking to the people you're playing, or are you walking around sing along with your earbuds? What's going on?
I don't have earbuds in.
So you're just playing music for everybody?
Yeah, I have a portable speaker for everybody to hear it.
And so, like, tell me what's on your golf list.
I'll read you the first 10 songs on the golf
playlist. Yeah, do it. The golf playlist.
Right, you ready?
Yep.
Miss You, Rolling Stones.
Okay.
Running Down a Dream, Tom Petty.
Got it.
Young Americans, David Bowie.
Good.
Bruce Springsteen's cover of the Bee Gees song, Stayin' Alive.
Oh, wow. I know.
This is a great song. You'd love this song. A Girl Like You, Edwin Collins.
Don't know.
You know this song, though. Pull that song up, Jorge. A Girl Like You, Edwin Collins. I'll Take You There, General Public, Fool in the Rain, Led Zeppelin, Already Gone, Eagles, Feeling All Right, Joe Cocker. That's the first 10.
Boy, that's heavy 70s, man.
All right, this is a Girl Like You, Edwin Collins.
Oh, yeah, I know this song.
It was like he's a one-hit wonder.
Yeah. No, it's a good song, though. But it is very 70s. You're a big classic rock guy. I was never a classic rock guy.
Yeah, there's some 80s stuff in here, mostly Petty.
Yeah.
There's Higher Love. Shout out to Sugar Ray, because Mark McGrath went to my high school.
Yeah.
So I got a little fly on there. Got Santana, got Counting Crows, Pretenders, Fleetwood Mac.
Counting Crows, whatever happened to Counting Crows? I saw them at the Greek, they were
two
fantastic.
Great albums.
They just disappeared.
Prince, The Police, Led Zeppelin,
Beatles. So do you entertain everybody with this speaker?
Yeah.
Now, what if somebody said, hey, the music is disturbing me?
I would turn it off.
You would?
Yeah, and but I always ask. Mostly guys have, and like Worthy has a speaker too, so sometimes he'll play his music instead of mine. Like, as long as we don't mix soundtracks, as long as one guy's got a playlist going, we're good.
Got it. All right. Coming up next, John, I want to ask you, by the way, we are keeping track of everything. If something breaks, we will have it for you. But it is the 4-year anniversary of LeBron James joining the Lakers. I want to ask you.
That happened 4 years ago today?
4 years ago today.
Wow.
I want to ask you how do you feel so far with LeBron? That's coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Let's see. Rookie the Dog, one of the many burner accounts around the station, just tweeted, there needs to be some extra credit incentive given today for Venice Mace for actually showing up on Friday before the long weekend. Was expecting a last-minute I-feel-sick notice. Even Ireland has to be shocked.
Yeah, I am a little surprised because Travis played that card. Sliwa played that card. Bergman played that card. Is Amanda running around there someplace?
Yeah, Boston.
Yeah, she was here.
She was here, yeah.
Yeah, so if three on-air, I don't know if Sedano and Cap are both going to show up, but if three on-air people were going to play it, I would have put big money that you would have been one of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, no, you know what? It's actually kind of, I'm wearing shorts today. Nobody's in the building. It really doesn't matter. It's truly, truly is, you know, the Friday before 4th of July.
It Friday.
Exactly. So a couple of nuggets I want to throw out there, John, for you. Again, Rudy Gobert got traded to Minnesota a little while ago. So a couple of questions coming up on
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On Twitter that maybe you can help with. What is Minnesota? This is at Tony1628. What is Minnesota going to do with Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns? I guess they just play one at the
Towns is like Anthony Davis. He wants to play the four.
He wants to play the four. Okay.
So now you have Rudy Gobert, one of the best fives in the league, to play next to him.
Well, that's got to be the best.
And remember, they still
front
have Anthony.
Is that the best front court in the league?
Well, they have Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell in the backcourt now, too.
Yeah, that's a decent little time, decent little team.
Is it the best front court in the league? That's a good question. Would you rather have them than Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum? Would you rather have them than Joel Embiid Harris?
I'm thinking big guys.
Would you rather have them than LeBron and AD?
No.
Paul George and Kawhi?
No, but now you're talking just big twos, not necessarily front courts. You got a center and a four, a five and a four. Who's got a better five and four combo than?
Well, technically, AD's a five and LeBron's a four, but LeBron plays all five.
Plays all over the place, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know that you would. Embiid, Jokic are the two big number ones, and Jokic doesn't really have another forward with him. He has Michael Porter. It's like 6'11".
Right, right.
Could be.
I'm getting a lot of heat right now for my anime conversation, saying that there are a bunch of weirdos out there. Yep. Justin R. tweets, don't know if it's bigger than sports, but anime huge, maybe huger than ever, mainly cause of the girls. There are libraries of anime in just Netflix and Hulu alone. Even my dad likes some anime.
I don't think I've ever seen a full anime movie or show. Have you?
You know, it's a good question.
Jorge, have you?
Dragon Ball Z, Sailor Moon kind of thing.
You see, I don't know what those are.
Those were two.
I watched an animated series called Invincible on... do you know that show, Funch?
It's on Amazon, right?
Right.
It's not an anime show.
That's not anime?
No, it's not. It's a cartoon, but it's not anime.
It's animated, but it's not. Well, yeah. So what's the difference between just animation and anime?
I think it has to have like a Japanese-type flair, you know?
So anime is Japanese cartoons?
Yeah, basically. Basically. I mean, that's what I get from it.
Are the cartoons in English?
Some of them are dubbed in English. Some of them are straight subtitles.
Okay.
Jorge's giving me the hand across the throat, like the cut this off, cut this off, cut this off.
Stop talking about anime.
Stop talking about
anime. Are you worried, Jorge, that he's going to alienate the anime mafia?
Oh yeah, very worried.
Okay. We just launched
a large one outside too.
You know, somebody's going to launch at anime mafia at this point.
Yeah, good. Let him have it.
All right, so I asked you, we'll do Ryan Abraham coming up at 2 o'clock. Ryan Abraham from USCfootball.com on the jump for USC and UCLA to the Big Ten. And by the way, the more I thought about it, the more I thought, hey, this is a chance for me to go to the big house and the shoe.
Yeah, I had no idea why you
college.
Were down on it at
no,
all.
No, I'm not down. Look, I was not down on it from a money perspective. I just think it's a hell of a lot easier to win the Pac-12 than it is to win the Big Ten.
Yeah,
you can't deny that.
Well, I can't deny this either, that if they would have stayed, they were just going to get squished like a bug.
Why?
Because the teams that are moving into the super conferences are the ones that are getting the
$100 million. I understand all that. I'm just saying it's going to be tougher. It's going to be a tougher road. I mean, it's different. It's different. Playing Oregon State and Arizona State is different than playing Penn State and Wisconsin.
Yeah, there's still Indiana and Northwestern.
Yeah, you got a couple of suckers in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that went down today. We'll talk to Ryan Abraham about that. So, John, it's been 4 years since LeBron James signed with the Los Angeles Lakers. Remember, Magic Johnson was at LeBron's house on a Saturday night right around 9 o'clock Pacific time to sell LeBron on coming to the Lakers, although I think he was probably coming. What's the legacy of LeBron so far with the Lakers?
That he got him a title.
Yeah.
I wonder if he gets enough credit for that. I mean, the Lakers were in an absolute bottomless pit of 6 straight years of losing. And he came along, and in his second year, he got him the title. And so for me, his tenure, no matter what happens from here on out, is a success. Because he came here and led the Lakers to a title in his second season.
Yeah.
And I'm a little biased here, Mace, because I do all the games.
Sure.
But LeBron is box office, man. He makes every game fun because you never know what he's going to do. He's a way better passer than I ever thought he was when I was covering him just 2 games a year. I knew he was good at passing, but when you cover him, 60 games a year, you realize that he's one of the great passers in the history of the NBA. I mean, he's going to finish top 5 in assists all time, but, I mean, it is.
I mean, for me, he's the best player in the history of the game. I'll take him over everybody.
Well,
the most
Jordan is the one that it's tough to cross off. But
LeBron does more stuff in the end than Michael Jordan did.
Yeah,
as you mentioned, assists and all that stuff. Hey, one thing I totally forgot. God darn it! But you're right. Legacy is championship. Legacy
did you
is
forget
championship.
Lie of the day.
Yeah, lie of the day. So we're doing lie of the day today. It is my lie, and you've got a bonus because you don't. It's already 1:38. That means sometime between now and 3:30, I'm going to tell a lie. If you figure out exactly what it is, you will win a spot in our 710 ESPN Wiffle Ball Bash Home Run Derby featuring everybody here at 710. You will actually get into the batter's box like all of us do and try to win the Home Run Derby. All happening Friday, July 15th at the City of West Covina Sportsplex. Plus, you will also, if you win Lie of the Day, get 2 tickets to the Capital One Play Ballpark in MLB Live in downtown L.A. July 16th through the 19th, the ultimate all-star fan experience with something for the whole family. All right, coming up next for you, you're going to spin the wheel of questions. I put some interesting stuff on there today, John. Stuff on the wheel of questions. What? Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, here we go. It's a simple question. Can humans defeat aliens? Can humans defeat aliens?
Well, in every movie, the humans end up defeating the aliens, but I think the aliens, we don't give them enough credit.
What do you mean we don't give them enough credit?
I think the aliens will be more advanced than us. They'll have better weaponry than us. I think we're screwed.
Okay. Funch, do you agree on that?
I think if the aliens are like the Area 51 ones, you know, like the little small ones with the big heads.
They don't scare me as much.
They don't scare me. But if they're like the aliens in that movie Aliens, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're dead.
Jorge?
Yeah, we don't give them enough credit. I think we're dead.
Yeah, aliens are very underrated. I don't think we've got a friggin' chance in hell.
We can't even live amongst ourselves.
Oh my God,
imagine.
We can't. Right? We don't even get along. Exactly. You're going to introduce. I would say it would bring us all together, but somehow that wouldn't work. Somehow it still wouldn't bring us all together because I don't know what will. But yeah, I think aliens kick our ass. I don't think we got any chance. All right, Frank in East Los Angeles says he's got some anime stuff. Frank, you're on 710. What's up, man?
What's up, John and Mace? All right, look. So anime, right? It's basically Japanese style animation. That's what it is. Japanese cartoon, but they're action oriented cartoons. So have ever seen the Astro Boy?
No, I can't say I did.
The Thundercats, Transformers, G.I. Joe.
Oh, Transformers! Sure, I know Transformers.
All right, that's a Japanese influenced style animation right there. Right, like more popularly, which you're probably gonna know of today more is like Dragon Ball Z, you know your Yu-Gi-Ohs, even to a slight extent, maybe even like Pokemon might be. You know, I don't want to offend anybody, but to a slight extent, like that.
So,
but
Frank, do you have any of these
oriented cartoons?
Do you have any of these? Or do you do the cosplay part? Do you ever put on your dragon tail and bunny ears?
No, I don't do that. But I love to attend those expos. A lot of pretty beautiful women are into it.
There are a lot of women here characters. For sure. Oh, yeah.
And then it's fun too. Look. There's this anime called Megalo Joe, right? Mm-hmm. It's a boxing anime. It's set in like the future, where boxing is now this kind of like you use atoms to it. Like you got to get into these robotic gear, and so it's a boxing anime, traditional boxing story, but with technology mixed into it.
Okay,
it's a pretty cool one. You can find that one on Hulu, right? And Dragon Ball Z, they're about to come out with a Dragon Ball Z movie. It's going to be in the theaters
nice.
In about a month or so.
Okay.
So,
hey, listen, Frank, thank you for calling in. You know, he convinced me. I always travel with a dragon tail and bunny ears.
Yeah,
and
you do.
I am going to go to the Anime Expo.
I have a bunny. I have a bunny suit if you want to borrow it.
You do. Yeah. You do. You know, we were just talking about aliens. And first of all, I should mention there was a really strange sighting in San Diego on Monday night. I'll tweet out the video for it, but here's a little bit of the news report. This is from NBC7 in San Diego.
New tonight, floating lights off our coast. Had the phone in our newsroom ringing tonight. People calling in from Chula Vista to Encinitas to talk about those. We just got that video in before 10. We don't know what the lights are. We did talk to Camp Pendleton and NAS North Island. They both tell us that they don't know what they are either. We're working for you to get an answer. When we get one, we will pass it along.
It's weird because the lights come on, they come off.
It is super spooky, and I don't think it can be a plane. I don't think, and it was there for a long time. It's five floating lights off the coast of San Diego on Monday night.
Five floating lights?
Five floating lights.
It's E.T.
Yeah, you're convinced.
He's back, yeah.
It's been denied by
everyone.
Yeah, no, none of the military. They all say it's not us. And it's a report. Saw a row of three orange dots above the sky downtown. Never moved. Then suddenly there were five, and then six, and then they never went off in different directions. But the lights would just blink off and on, and then come back on a few minutes later. It was weird. It was interesting. It was fascinating to watch. So it's out there. It's out there. I just retweeted the alien photos, and they're very good ones. From San Diego. So what I was going to say is, John, you know, I filled in for Art Bell on the old...
sure, I remember.
Art Bell show, and it was very, very strange conversations that I was involved in. If they ever wanted me back, I would do it in a second. Here's the deal. You've got to buy every premise. So I did a night where there were lizard people living inside Earth. And they would come up from Earth, and they would be regular people, so that we've already been invaded and infiltrated by aliens, and they are actually lizard people, and they live in the Earth. I did 2 hours on that subject. I did 2 hours talking to a quote-unquote expert about
I'm sorry
that.
I missed it. I could have called in as an expert.
Oh, it's such a fun thing to do that show.
Exactly.
Now it's George Norrie. If George ever needs a fill-in, oh, God, what I wouldn't give to do that show. That would be a blast. It would be a blast. Let's go to Mike in Lancaster. Mike, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
Question for you two. Mm-hmm. How you guys feel about how Uncorporate Greg, a.k.a. Unfaithful Greg, Treaty Jaw yesterday with Sedano on his show, saying that you guys are no longer funny, your interviews are boring, that he preferred for Sedano now to do the interviews.
Yeah, now,
so
Mace,
forth.
Did you hear
did he
this?
Say all this?
No, it's a hey, Jorge, find the promo. They turned it into a promo. And thank you, Mike, for the phone call.
Thanks, Mike. What the hell happened? I wasn't listening yesterday.
No. It's a very interesting strategy by Bergman.
Okay.
Basically, he must assume he has a bigger safety net than I think he has.
Mm.
Jorge, let me know when you find it, and then I'll let Mason react to it. But it's basically Bergman has decided that he regrets booking Keyshawn yesterday because you and I don't know how to do interviews. And he wishes Sedano and Cap did
him. Screw Bergman.
Okay, here it is.
So in the meantime, though, Bergie, I just want to say one thing, which is I thought there's a rule on Mason in Ireland about no guesting.
Yeah. Why did you have Keyshawn on today?
Because he went to USC. And he's Keyshawn Johnson.
But I heard him talking about, like, KD for, like, something ridiculous.
He brought that up.
What was happening there?
Yeah, he brought that up, which was really good. The only problem was, you know, Mason in Ireland, I'm sure this is going to get cut up at some point, and they're going to make fun of me, but they didn't do a really good job with him. Keyshawn was great, but that interview is the reason why I don't want to have them.
Why weren't they good, though? I don't understand.
I mean, it's just because they don't know how to play with him. They don't know how to have fun with him. Like, you
really?
Guys, when you talk to Boney, you're going to call him Boney and have a good time with him.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like having guests on him, because they just don't ask the great questions anymore. I'm sorry.
Wow. Anymore.
Getting
wow.
cut up.
Wow. No, please do.
What the hell?
Okay, so here's my position on this. It's an interesting strategy, Cotton. He's not going to be able to see very well. Mason, you're the only thing keeping Bergman on the show. I didn't want to do the trade for Lindsay.
Yeah.
Now, so he must feel like completely secure with you, because it like literally, I don't think I would trade him back for Lindsay today.
Ooh.
I don't think Sedano and Cap would do it. And
I would actually make that trade. I would trade that back. I would trade that
yeah,
back.
Yeah, but I don't think Sedano and Cap would do it.
I mean, for me, you know, Bergman, you're either with us or against us. And yesterday
right.
you were against us, and screw you.
And so, but here's the other thing. Like, Jorge,
yeah.
I don't think Travis and Slee would trade us Emily for Bergman, do you?
I don't think so either. Uh-uh.
Do you think that Sedano and Cap would trade us Lindsay?
Possibly.
Yeah. You think possibly?
I don't. I will ask him when we do cross-check today. That's
yeah,
a good cross-check thing. But
Bergman is going to get nothing but crap next week. Let me tell you that. Bergman's going to get nothing but crap.
But
I've worked
Mace,
with a lot of producers in my career. He's not even in the top 10.
Okay,
he's not even in the – John, is he in the top 10 producers you've ever worked with?
Well, here's the weird thing, though. What does he think is keeping him on the show? I mean, he doesn't have anywhere to go if he burns out with us.
True.
They don't want him.
No.
Travis and Slee don't want him, and now we don't want him. What's his next move? It was a very interesting play by him. I don't know what he was thinking.
Yeah, it's going to have long-term ramifications.
I wish he was here today so I could ask him what he was thinking. But
he wasn't thinking, Jorge says.
He
Jorge,
wasn't
what was going on?
I don't know. I wasn't here. I was already gone.
But we'll bring this up with Sedano and Cap later, and we'll try and get Lindsay back, but I don't think they're going to trade her.
No,
and I don't
they
know,
won't make the trade.
And I don't even know if Lindsay would come.
No, I don't think Lindsay would come. I don't think she'd come.
Funch.
Yes.
You're my choice to be the full-time producer of this show.
Okay.
Seriously.
Hey, Funch, you also have my support. Funch did a great job today, sent a bunch of cool ideas.
Right. And Bergman, by the way,
sound.
Mace, obviously you take a lot of time off. Bergman never sends me ideas. He's done it once in 5 years.
Bergman does not send ideas. He's not a producer.
Are you serious? I thought that's what
sense.
He does every day.
No, does not send.
No.
Sends no ideas whatsoever. All those ideas are mine and John's and the interns.
You even sent them a jump ball question yesterday.
What's that?
You sent them a jump ball question.
I sent him a jump ball question because he can't come up with jump ball
questions.
So
it'll be very interesting where he sees himself in the hierarchy when he comes back on Tuesday.
Tell you where I see him in the hierarchy.
Yeah.
We'll see. Right in a can.
But good question, Mike.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Call in sick, Bergman, on Tuesday.
Yeah, I would show up for work. We are gonna.
If I was him,
he's gonna get scalded when he's here on Tuesday, scalded and scalded.
Man. Well, I hope it's fudge. I mean, the only person, Amanda. Well, all we got to do is talk Amanda into giving us a new producer, which she always does. So, you know. We'll get Amanda on it, and Bergman will be. Selling glamour makeovers in Spanish at the mall.
Plus, I mean, Keyshawn kicked Sedano off of the morning show.
Right.
So why would Keyshawn want to go on with Sedano, who he kicked off the morning show?
Who knows? But this is a good topic for those guys when we come on with them.
Oh, right, because we're not allowed to talk sports when they come on.
Well, Sedano, what's weird about that is Sedano says we don't want to talk about the lead stories. But if it's a big day.
Yeah, it's a big day like yesterday. Why would you not talk about the lead
the
stories?
Like the second I think we stop talking about the big stories, people go to something else.
Yeah, I just think that was a jackassy move by George yesterday.
So all this, we'll air all this out with those guys when they come on.
Many grievances to be aired.
The airing of the grievances
will be later. All right, Ryan Abraham's going to join us at 2:15. John, it is, we have nothing breaking. What's the most recent Lakers signing? I want to make sure we get everybody
their
information.
Well, the one that is rumored to be possible, which I would love, that is being reported out there, but it hasn't happened, is Thomas Bryant, who the Lakers had as a rookie, who has bounced around the league for a big seven-footer who makes threes, defends. I don't know how what the Lakers plan to fit him into the salary structure would be, but rumor has it that Thomas Bryant's going to make a decision today, and if we could get him, it'd be great.
Sedano just texted, Key and I are good. I've been invited to his birthday party. Have you clowns, jackasses? Yes, we have both been invited. Are you going, John?
No, that's my birthday.
Oh, that's when you're on your birthday. That's right.
Yeah
no, Juan and I are going to go. Jackasses. All right, coming up next, John, let's do interesting financial news today. It involves somebody still getting paid and somebody not getting paid any longer. It's coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.